Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to Work on Air this beautiful Thursday. We are on episode 87. Wow, this is such an amazing day for us. And for our listeners who are here for the first time, Work on Air is a program brought to you by Women of Africa Care here in South Africa. And this program is sponsored by Rob and Helen Rowe from Gospel for Grampian radio station out there in the United Kingdom. We are very grateful as Women of Africa Care to get this platform every Thursday to come to our listeners and inspire the women through women empowerment. We use the Word of God and life experiences to inspire and empower women to be the best version of who God has created them to be. Yes, Gospel for Grampian listeners, our show is to uplift and edify women, and we do this through our belief in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the one gospel that Paul talks about. And we are here to edify and uplift our women so that they can be bride ready. So if you are a woman anywhere in the world and you want inspiration, then Thursdays on Gospel for Grampian at 9 a.m. or 7 p.m., you should tune in so that you can get women inspiration straight out of the Word of God, inspired by godly women that are airing on Women of Africa Care. And today I've got my beautiful friend on air, Erica. Do you want to say hello?
Welcome, welcome, beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners. Thank you for this absolute awesome opportunity that we have to be able to speak God's word, that we can discuss his word, that we can dig in his word, and that we know that those that are listening are really being planted and rooted in the word. Thank you so much, Angelina, for this time that we can have to really talk about the jewels of God's word, and that we can learn from that. Not only our listeners, but you and I can get some nuggets, and then God just expounds on that nugget. Thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate that. And thank you for all your listeners that are listening so diligently every Thursday. Thank you, Angelina.
You know, Erica, I love what you're saying, the jewels of God's word. And what does it mean for our listeners? So listeners, this is how it is. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search it out. And so when we became reborn, we have the honor as children of God, as kings and queens, to search out the mysteries of God's word. And how do we search it out? We read the word of God and we ask the Holy Spirit, please help us get revelation of the word of God. And it is the Spirit of God that puts light on the word that then we begin to see the mysteries and the precious jewels that Erica talks about, because indeed it is a mystery. Hey, Erica?
Yes, that is so true. It is a mystery. What a beautiful mystery to sit at his feet and to dig in his word. And you know what, Angelina, that I have experienced, and that makes me so it just gives me more, it's like very nice ice cream that we had on Saturday. Really, I've never tasted this nice ice cream. And I just wanted more, and my stomach said, enough, but I just wanted more. And this is how God's word is. But you can never say enough for God's word. In actual fact, it just brings more and more and more in your whole being that you want to dig deeper, you want to know more. And that is when we pray, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Why? So that we can know him intimately.
I just love what you're saying there, Erica. And that's exactly what reading the word and partnering with the Holy Spirit does. It opens the eyes of our understanding. I'm thinking about, Erica, Proverbs 1:7. It says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we revere and honor God, we then have the beginning of knowledge. We begin to have knowledge of things. And then Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, And the knowledge of the Holy One brings understanding. I mean, how's that? Knowledge of the Holy One brings understanding. So really, Gospel for Grampian listeners, when you begin to revere the Lord through praise and worship, it then gives you the opportunity to want to know Him. And that's where Erica says, when you now do praise and worship, you're falling in love with Jesus. You want to know Him because you've got revere for Him. Fearing Him means I revere Him because He's so awesome. And in that reverence, you begin to want to know Him. So you go and study at His feet, like Erica says. And in studying at His feet, the Spirit of the Lord begins to put a light on there. And then you begin to have understanding of all things. And when you have understanding of Him, you have understanding of all things, because He is all-knowing. When you know God, you realize you know things. You have knowledge of things. And in having knowledge of all things, you now begin to walk in wisdom. So you see, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding apart from God is impossible. Absolutely impossible. Hey, Erica?
That is so true, Angelina. It is.
I'm thinking about Erica. I got to bring this up. Sorry, I know we're going to be talking today about women, gird up your loins. But I had an encounter with a lady yesterday where we had a discussion on something. She was invited to an event and she goes to this event. And to her shock, it was actually an event talking about another religion. And it's got the word church in front of this religion. But their description of church, or their description about their religion, is that their salvation is found in one another and the universe.
Yeah.
Shocking. Mm-hmm. Their salvation is found in one another and the universe. And they believe that when you find yourself in one another and in the universe, that's where your spiritual awakening happens and you receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And so why I'm saying this is that that's the reason, Erica, why Jesus in the Bible, before we were born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, He spoke in parables, because the human mind cannot comprehend the mysteries of the Lord. And so people are becoming so desperate that they are finding salvation in one another to gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's called humanism, where we don't need God and we nip each other's brains to try and gather some wisdom and knowledge and consolidate that knowledge into a religion. That is very scary. I don't want to shame the religion that I'm talking about, because the Bible says that we must not condemn other religions. But it just shows you that this world has become so sick, and most of the people that believe that are part of this religious group are actors, actresses, renowned popular people that are in the entertainment world. And they say that they draw their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and happiness through salvation in one another and the universe. And so we want to tell you today, our precious Gospel for Grampian listeners, I think you need to really go back and listen to our episodes 82 to 85, where we talk about abiding in God. Because in abiding in God, we reproduce the fruits of the Spirit, which is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That fruits of the Holy Spirit are produced through our lives because we are abiding in God. And it is in those fruits that we experience the peace, the joy, the love, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the patience, the faithfulness, and the self-control of God for ourselves. And it is really in there we walk in the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God. Because apart from God, you can never experience the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that God has given us in Himself, because we are created in Him to be like Him. And so He wants us to operate in that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And if we don't abide in Him, we will never be able to value the God kind that we created to be. And we will conform ourselves to pure humanism. And that is very sad because I'm reminded, Erica, the word of God says, I can't remember now where, it's in Romans 4:17, where Paul is saying that, how have you gotten to this point where you've now confined God to a pure carved image and mortal man? Because that's what humanism is, making one another God, mortal man. And so abiding in God not only teaches us to have the nature of God, but it makes us understand that God is God and nobody else can be God, and that apart from God, no goodness can come out. Because Jesus said, only God is good. And so apart from God, there is no goodness. Apart from God, you'll never experience true happiness. Hey, Erica?
Amen.
I don't know if you want to add anything to what I'm saying.
You know what, Angelina, while you were talking, I was just thinking by myself, that is why God's word tells us, gird up your loins. Because if you are girded up, if your loins are girded up, you are prepared. Because girding up your loins means to prepare yourself for what is to come. If you are not prepared for what is to come, you are open target. You are open target to believe what deception brings to you. For instance, you seek your salvation in yourself or in one another. In Jeremiah 1, verse 17 to 19, I just want to read these three verses to you. But you prepare yourself, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Do not be terrified on account of them, or I will terrify you before them. For I am the one who today makes you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of bronze, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, its priests and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you. That is the word of God that was spoken to Jeremiah. And that, if you condense it, it actually says, gird up your loins, prepare yourself. Because he says here, do not be terrified on account of them, or I will terrify you before them. If your loins are not girded, you will be terrified before them. And that is what is happening. Mm-hmm. And I just know, when I read this, when this came to me, what does the loins actually symbolize? It's a mode of expressing the loins as the seat of strength and vigor. I was so blown away. The center of procreative power, the portion of the body which is girded about and is considered as especially needful of covering, even under primitive conditions of life.
Sure.
Why did God say, gird up your loins? Because we need to be prepared for what is to come. And Angelina, we will speak in a moment about girding your loins with truth. Because first of all, you gird up your loins and God says, gird it up with the truth. But to understand what loins symbolize, that is the seat of strength and vigor, the center of procreative power. In actual fact, in the Hebrew, it says Hebrew mother, here used of behemoth in Job 40, verse 16, the portion of the body which is girded about and is considered as especially needful of covering even under primitive conditions of life. So that needs to be covered. Wow. And you need to be prepared. And the substance there is the truth, and is the truth of God.
Spot on, Erica.
Wow, I was blown away when I found this, really, this symbolizing of the loins. And now every time, you know, when I dress myself and I reach this portion, which is the seat of strength and vigor that we as women carry in childbirth. God has strengthened us, but in the spiritual, we carry what God has placed in us, and we need to gird our loins, and we need to be strong in that area. How do you feel about this, Angelina?
You know, Erica, the truth is absolutely critical, and we have to gird ourselves with the truth, because let me tell you how this conversation went even further. So this lady went to this event, and she was shocked by what they were saying, and because she's Christian, so she didn't expect that it was going to be an event that they were going to talk about another religion. And there was another lady there that she befriended, and that lady was also Christian. So they were both shocked about the conversation that was happening there, because nobody said it was going to be a Christian, it was going to be a religious discussion. They were just called to come together for some socializing and, you know, with these popular people out there. And so when they finished their event, the ladies got back together through their WhatsApp chat, and the one lady said she was shocked, she will never go there again. But they gave a book, and the book was called How to Become Happy, Your Freedom to Happiness. And so this lady converses, and she says to this other lady, they're both Christians, you know what, I will not go there again, but I decided I'm going to read the book, because the book says how to be an effective communicator. So I'll read the book anyway, but I will not, you know, hide, you know, separate my Christianity from it. So I'll read the book because it's good communication tools, but I will make sure that I don't lose my Christianity in all of that. Now, this is me. What happens when you leave God out of learning to be an effective communicator? Pride comes in. Yeah. Pride comes in because God didn't teach you and help you how to become an effective communicator. Everything in the Word of God is there to teach us how to be effective communicators, how to be good leaders. Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and all the experiences and testimonies of the great men and women in the Bible was put in the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to teach us how to be effective communicators. A soft answer takes away wrath. Here's your answer on how to exercise self-control when you want to communicate. So everything about how to be a good person is in the Bible. Now, the minute you allow a carnal inspiration to teach you how to be an effective communicator or a good person, the minute you become that good person, because you didn't get inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach you how to become a good person, pride will come in the way, because you're going to say, I read the book and I became a good person. No God in it. Pride becomes the center of why you became a good person. And why you keep the truth around you? Because when Holy Spirit tells you to be a better person, you are abiding in Him. Therefore, the fruits of the Holy Spirit come out, and He teaches you how to become a better person. You transform forever inside out to become a better person. And therefore, when you are good, you'll never say, I'm good because I read a book. You say you are good because it's the goodness of God working through you. I've got self-control because it is the nature of the Spirit of God that taught me how to be self-controlled. I've got patience because it is the nature of the Holy Spirit that teaches me to be patient. I will never come in the way of me being a better person because I abided in God, because the Word of God, which is the truth, taught me how to exercise the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am a good person. And in using the Word of God to become a better person, I realize that in gentleness, I'm great. Whereas in a book designed by carnal input, gentleness does not make you great. Gentleness makes you an ugly human being. So, Erica, this was the big lesson I got from yesterday, that our women cannot be blinded, that there's a nice circular book out there written by a carnal mindset, said to be a principle of humanism where God is out of the picture. It's just a set of books that you apply to make yourself better, but there's no inward transformation. It is just an outward action where the world sees you a good person, but inside you perished. I mean, it's like this lady said, Erica, the lady that was preaching at the front of this seminar, said how to be happy, but the audience were looking at her and she was totally miserable while she was talking about how to be happy. That is the whole thing. That if you call yourself a church of a religious cult and the things you write there is not God inspired, but your salvation from another human being inspiring each other, of course you're going to have a carnal output. You're going to talk about happiness, but you're sad. You're going to talk about joy, but you are dying and perishing. So I'm talking to you, Gospel for Grampian listeners. We got a very important topic today, and it is about how to gird up your loins. And that means how to gird yourself up with the truth of God's word, because it is the truth of God's word that inspires you to be all who God created you to be. If you want effective communication, you need to abide in God so that the Spirit of God can teach you how to communicate effectively. If you want to be a good mother, you don't have to go to a circular environment and a circular book to learn from other people who don't have God in them how to be a good mother. Go into the scriptures and it will teach you how to be a good mother. So Erica, tell us how this girdle of truth works and how should we use it to be effective communicators for those who are battling and going to the secular environment to get their resource material.
Gladly, I will. We know in the olden times the Roman soldier always wore a tunic. It's like a loose piece of material with holes where the hands came through. And then their combat was always hand to hand. So obviously this tunic would be in the way. What they then did is they picked up from the bottom and then they put it in this girdle that is around their waist. They tucked it into this, it was a heavy leather belt that girded the soldier's loins. So now what is the belt that girded it all together securely and demonstrates the believer's readiness for war in truth? Now what is this? This, when, as you said, we need to gird our loins. And with what? With truth. So when we have that truth, it is absolutely essential for the believer in his battle against the schemes of Satan. We cannot be without the girdle of truth. Without knowledge of biblical teaching, he is, as the Apostle Paul already pointed out, subject to being carried about by every wind of doctrine. And it always brings it back to me, to the story that you told about this church, because they haven't girded themselves, their loins, with the truth of the Word of God. It's so easy to be open for the attack of the enemy. In his first letter to Timothy, Paul warns that the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. This is what we are hearing. The doctrines of demons taught by cults and false religions have their origin in deceitful spirits that in Ephesians Paul calls rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. These false schemes of Satan can be successfully encountered only with the truth of the Word of God. So when we gird our loins, we need to gird it with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is when we are able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. That then we are able to discern when something comes to us, when people talk with beautiful words, then we can discern, is this the truth or is this a lie? As you also mentioned, that the lady was, she was talking about joy, but her face was not joyful at all. When we talk about the truth of God's word, it strengthens us and we speak with absolute authority. We are not weak or weaklings, because with Christ in us, he gives his strength to us to stand and to speak and to take authority, because we are girded, our loins are girded with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything you want to add, Angelina?
Yes, you know, I'm thinking, Erica, that we really, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we have to take this lifestyle of Christianity seriously, because this is what Peter or the 1 Peter 2 says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what we are saying, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we are God's family and must uphold our heritage. And that's what Erica is saying. You cannot uphold your heritage without girding yourself with the loins of the Word of God. Because if you don't have the Word of God in you, you will not be set apart. Just like what we said now, the Word of God is truth. It is alive. It goes into our, from our spirit, into our mind, will, and emotions. It cuts through our heart, through our soul, and it comes out in our natural and manifests his glory. Therefore, when people look at us, when, like Erica says, when we speak about joy, you see joy. We are an expression of joy. We are an expression of love. We're an expression of peace. We're an expression of goodness. We're an expression of self-control. We're an expression of faithfulness and peace. That is what happens. And therefore, people look at us and they see that royal crown we wear. It is not a visible crown, Erica. It is an invisible crown. And they look at us and they say, wow, indeed, this is a chosen nation. Indeed, they are royal priesthood. Indeed, they are a holy nation. Indeed, they are a special people. Because there's something about them that's different. And it's because we gird ourselves up with the loins, which is the girdle of truth. We put it on us, and every day, whatever we do, the truth leads and guides us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It guides our footsteps. It guides our discussions. It guides our speech. Just like you said now, Erica, in Jeremiah, it guided what he needed to say. How did he do it? I love how you describe. He first girded his loins and then stood up and spoke. So if God wants us to be a speaker, we have to have the truth around us and prepare ourselves to speak that truth. If I don't have the girdle of truth around me, what am I going to speak out there? That carnality of speaking happiness, but I'm mourning. Nobody is influenced by that. Everybody's going to go, you really want me to buy your book because you're speaking happiness, but I don't see it. You're not influential enough about the book you want to sell. Isn't that how it is?
Absolutely, Angelina. I was just reminded while you were talking about what I previously said, that to gird up your loins means to prepare yourself. So how do we prepare ourselves? We worship, because before we speak, we worship. And in worship to God, truth comes, and we are being girded with the truth. That is how we prepare ourselves. And then we can go out, and then we can be the strength for our children, even for our spouse, and for the community around us, because we have worshipped, we have come before the Lord, and we have girded our loins with the belt of truth. It is so imperative to know that truth is the only way, because Jesus came and he is the truth. He gave us the way, and he showed us the way, and he gave us life. And without that, we will not, our seat will not be strengthened, and we will not have the vigor in us to move. And therefore, I am so grateful to the Lord that sometimes it sounds as to be a child of God is a lot of effort and work, but it is not. He has already done everything. You just walk in it. If I come into worship, then I am preparing myself. And what is happening? God is girding me actually with his truth, because in worship, truth starts to be revealed in me. And with that revelation, I can walk out and I can speak the oracle of God.
I love what you're saying, Erica. The preparation is the process. And Esther showed us the preparation of a royalty. And she had to go through that process of beauty treatment. And her physical treatment is a shadow of the spiritual treatment that you're talking about now as a preparation. Because as a holy nation, royal priesthood and chosen generation, we can't go there unprepared. And one of the forms that Erica talks about is praise and worship, worshiping the Lord. And why do we have to do that? Because as a heritage, one of the things of our heritage to sustain our royalty is being holy. And 1 Peter 1:13 says that, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also must be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, we are required to have a holy conduct. If we don't gird up our loins of our mind, which means we must be sober, how on earth can we be that heritage of a royal family if we're not girded? And Erica uses a wonderful example of how to be girded. Get yourself into worship. Because when you worship, like Erica says, you can connect to your royal standard. Because you are getting into connection with Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit ushers us into a holy state, into the presence of a royal throne room. And when we get into that royal throne room, we see and understand the heritage we come from. Therefore, we want to be holy. And it is the truth of the Word of God that helps us walk in holiness, because you are not worshiping 24/7. But when you walk in the truth 24/7, it is a form of worship because you are honoring the ways of the kingdom. Hey, Erica?
Absolutely true, Angelina. Because once you have obtained truth, you need to stand up for truth and stand firm. Because this will prepare you to withstand the evil thing that is going to come at you. Because when you've worshiped and you gird yourself with the truth, and you go out into this world, the truth is with you. Then you stand up for the truth and you stand firm, and then the enemy can come and you will not be affected, because you will be able to withstand the evil that is going to come against you. I can just see it in a vision, how we worship, how God is clothing us. He's girding our loins with truth. And then we walk out because we've gripped the truth that he's given us. And we walk out into this world. And when the evil comes, we stand firm because we've got the truth. We've got the truth. And we stand firm and we can come against the evil. It's all God's doing. And we walk out and bring glory to his name. Isn't that fabulous, Angelina? I think it's just amazing how God works.
I love it. I love how you're describing it. And I want to bring that spiritual description to a physical description in order for our listeners to understand it. So Gospel for Grampian listeners, imagine you've got this dress, this cloak, and you don't have a girdle to tighten. You're going to trip over the cloak. And it then takes me back to, what's his name? Elijah. What did God tell Elijah? Gird up your cloak and run. He had to run faster than the chariot. Had he not girded up his cloak, he would have tripped over it and never been able to complete the assignment of running to meet the king. Right? And so girding up your loins is required so that you don't trip when circumstances come your way. Like Erica says, if you don't gird up yourself with the truth of God's word, then when the satanic attacks come against you, you will trip over the trouble. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Be not troubled. Persecution will come, but I've overcome the world. And so how do we overcome the world? Exactly like Erica says, when you spend time in worship, God then gives you revelation of who he is and revelation of his word. And that revelation in his time with you girds you up and clothes you so that you can, when trouble comes your way, your belt is tightened. So you can face every single giant and not trip over the troubles that come your way because you are girded with the truth that you received in your time of worship with God. Worship must not be seen as a religious ritual. It must be seen as your time with the Father, spending quality time with him, so that you are girding yourself up with his grace and his power and his nature and his truth. So that when you are in your places of influence, everything of who you are in him gives you the ability to face those environments so you can be like Elijah and run ahead of the earthly chariot. The earthly chariot could not compete with him because he was girded with the truth and the power of God in him. And that is what worship is all about. Hey, Erica, I love what it says when you go and you study the word gird up in the Hebrew. First of all, are you going to be excited on this one, Erica? Gird is a verb. It's a doing word. Like you said, you got to do something. You have to tighten that belt. You have to prepare yourself, okay? And I love this part. Why you gird? To move quickly where someone needs to go and arrive without delay. How amazing is that revelation of why you gird up? Getting ready to move quickly without delay. Hey?
Yes, Angelina, you have portrayed it so beautifully. I could see it like a movie coming before my eyes as you were explaining it to our blessed readers. I believe that being girded with truth primarily has to do with the self-discipline of total commitment. Don't you think so? It is the committed Christian, just as it is the committed soldier, who is prepared. Winning in war is often said to be the direct result of a desire that leads to careful preparation and maximum effort. It is the army who wants most to win who is most likely to do so, even against great odds. That brings so much, like I'm being ignited within when I read this and I hear what the Lord is saying, that even against great odds, we can win this army.
I love it. I love what you're saying. I love the description there. And I think Gospel for Grampian listeners, you got to see yourself on the earth as an army. Because the Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, and principalities of darkness. And so your girdle is not a physical belt. It is literally a spiritual truth, which is the weapon of your warfare. And how you ignite that weapon of your warfare, like Erica says, is that you have faith in what you read. You have faith in the truth. You can't have faith in the truth if you don't know God. I want to quickly go back to that part. We spoke about the fruits in history, right? In our previous episodes, episode 82, we spoke about the fruits and we started with love. Now, Erica, get this one. The fruit of love enables faith to work in our lives. And this is the revelation the Lord gave me. He said in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And the reason, Erica, Jesus said in Matthew 22:36, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." In Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your strength." Because remember now, in the Old Testament, they were not born again. So they needed physical, they needed to love God with their physical strength, with their physical nature, right? Because they were not born again, so they had to act it out physically. Now, in the New Testament, everything outward is an inward expression, right? The outward expression is an inward conviction. So when I love God inwardly, you'll see it on the outside. Whereas the Old Testament, they added the word strength there is because they weren't born again. So they had to act and do the law. It didn't come out naturally because their spirits weren't reborn. But notice the consistency here. The key here is you have to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Why? The revelation is that if you want to have faith in the truth, so that the belt of truth can work for you, you have to love God, because in loving God, faith works. The faith of God works in loving Him. So when God tells us, Erica, to love Him, there's nothing selfish for Him there. It is for us, because if we don't love Him with everything, then we don't have faith for everything. My soul cannot have faith in God if my soul doesn't love God. My flesh cannot have faith in God if my flesh doesn't love God. Because my body needs to love God for me to believe God for healing. Because faith works through love. Do you understand why He said, love Him with every part of our existence, because then faith will work in that area. Hey?
That's beautiful, Angelina. Say it again. What does love do with faith?
So if you look in Revelations 5:6, He says there, but faith worketh through love. That means when I love God, then His faith will work for me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so it's like you and me, right? We've got children. Our children know that we love them. They feel our love for them. So they never have to have faith to ask us for food. They know if they want food, they're going to get it. They don't need faith to ask us for clothes. They know they're going to get it because they're connected to that love. That's Amen. The same with God. When He Amen. Tells us, He specifically stated there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Because when we love Him, when my soul loves Him, my soul has faith in Him. So whatever my soul needs, it's going to get from God. When my strength loves God, then whatever my strength needs, it's going to get from God, because faith works through love. And that's Amen. Exactly Amen. Why having the truth of God is important. Because if you don't have the truth of God, you can't exercise faith. And you can't embrace the love of God. And therefore people end up, Erica, going to carnal and pagan outreaches to find the truth, to find faith, to find healing, to find the better way of life, to find the better life, because they don't know how to find it. And God is saying, if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and do what Erica says, begin that love relationship, which is what worship is all about, then that love relationship will allow His faith to work in you. Therefore, you have the strength to gird up the truth of every word that is in the Bible and be able Amen. To stand up against every tribulation that comes your way. And why are we telling you this today, Gospel for Grampian listeners? We're telling you this today because Erica touched on something so important about our lives being as soldiers on the earth. In Luke 12, it says, be ready for service, meaning be watchful. Why do we have to be watchful? So that we don't miss the rapture. So that we have a good reward for our time on the earth. Our dear sisters in Christ Jesus, God has created us for eternity. And there's two things we're going to face. First, we're going to have to face the rapture and hope that we get chosen. And if we are not watchful and get chosen at the rapture, then we are going to face the great tribulation and have to be martyred in order for us to get to heaven. And then the second thing of girding the truth around our waist is because in eternity, God has got a reward for our time on the earth. He says, Jesus says, I'm coming. Watch, I'm coming, and I'm coming to reward everybody according to their works. So the reason for girding the truth around us is because we are going to be measured against that truth for eternity in heaven with God, or if we don't accept God's ways, hell awaits us. And secondly, with eternity with God, we have eternal rewards for our time on the earth. And so this is what he says, Erica, in Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. So there's two things here. Let the truth of God's word be girded around you and make sure your lights are burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. God, Jesus, will prepare himself to serve us when we are girded to be ready for him. And he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them. So blessed are those servants. You know what I love about this, Erica? Peter asked him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? How amazing is this? He thinks it's only for the servants. And the Lord said to him, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, for at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. Wow, that is scary. That is scary. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten away with stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things, deserving of all stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And our time will be measured by our responsibilities God has given to us. So, gospel for Grampian listeners today. Do you fall in the category that Peter is saying? Are you speaking to us only or to all people? Well, let me tell you something, gospel for Grampian listeners. Jesus says at the end of Revelation, I come with my reward to reward each and every person according to their works on the earth. That means, my sisters in Christ, you are called as women on the earth. You are mothers. You are going to be judged according to your role as a parent. You have children. Yes, you're going to be judged how you look after your kids. You're going to be judged how you were a spouse to your husband. You're going to be judged according to your work as a community leader. You're going to be judged according to your place or profession. Everything before the foundations were created in Ephesians 2:10, God says we are his workmanship, Erica, created to do the good works. He's going to measure every one of us according to that good work. So girding up our loins and burning our lights bright are parallel for our eternal rewards and for us to make the rapture. So it is important for us, if we want to make the rapture, gird up our loins with the truth. Talk to us, Erica.
Yes, profound words, Angelina. I just want to add something the last point, being girded with truth, and this is going to blow your mind, is being renewed in the mind. Can you believe that?
Yep.
Because we live in a world where we see things, where we hear things, where we smell things, and our minds are filled with what we experience. So being girded with truth is being renewed in the mind in order to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, according to Romans 12, 2. When the mind is renewed in commitment to God's truth, there is empowerment for the Christian soldier to become a living and holy sacrifice that pleases God and is that believer's spiritual service of worship. This sentence has so much power and authority that we can actually talk about this for a whole hour and even more.
Sure.
That it really brings so much to the forefront, because the Word of God says, renew your mind. How do we renew our mind? One way is to being girded with the truth. Then we prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I just want to say it again. When the mind is renewed in commitment to God's truth, listen, when the mind is renewed in commitment to God's truth, there is empowerment for the Christian soldier to become a living and holy sacrifice that pleases God and is that believer's spiritual service of worship. Need I say more? We need to meditate on this over and over, and we will truly come into that place where we're going to dig, and we're not going to stop digging, because truth will come up with every scoop that we dig, even deeper and even more. I just want to say thank you for this moment of truth that has revealed so much, and that words so many times cannot express what one experiences. But God is faithful, so that when we minister, when we listen, when we are being taught, when we learn from God's word, he just fills us with his wisdom, with his insight, and with his foresight. And when we worship, we become a living and holy sacrifice that pleases God. Thank you, Angelina.
You know, Erica, you're doing this good. I love what you said. Girding up your mind requires a renewing of the mind. And why? Because from the mind, it settles in your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if the mind is not renewed, the heart has got no seed in order for it to produce something that must be expressed outwardly, right? So an outward expression has to have fruits growing in the heart. So I renew my mind with the word of God. It settles as a seed in my heart. My heart begins to grow it, and out of my heart flows the beautiful produce of what was sown in the heart. And why are we saying that? I'm going to go back to what 1 Jeremiah 1:17, and I'm going to talk about 1 Kings 18. So this is now for the prophets like Erica, for the pastors, for the community leaders, and for the teachers. I'm using this example, right? Jeremiah 1:17 says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." Look what he had to do. He had to tuck up his cloak around his belt, stand up to speak, meaning he had to tuck himself up with the word of truth and stand up with the confidence of that word of truth and speak it out. When you gird yourself up with the truth, that is the confidence that gives you the grace to stand up and speak and not be dismayed by their faces. The prophets, the pastors, the community leaders, and the teachers, your students, your listeners, not everybody's going to want to hear what you have to say, but you have to say it. And so when you gird up, That girding up gives you the confidence to rise up and speak boldly. That's the same thing with Elijah. He had to run that errand. And in 1 Kings 18:46, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." There is no way can anybody take their role in the kingdom of God for the purposes that God has asked you to do. Whether you're in a professional environment in the secular world like Joseph or Daniel, or whether you're a prophet and a teacher in the body of Christ, God will require you to do supernatural things and beat the chariot. And beat that horse that's racing. You have to run ahead of them. And if you are not girded with the truth of God's word, then you cannot accelerate at the level that God wants you, like the Elijah did, in order to appear there at the right time for the right moment to say or do or act what God needs you to do. So it is so important to be girded with the truth that Erica tells us today. And it starts with the word of God in your spirit, man, getting the revelation. Because the revelation, Erica, happens in the spirit of man. The Holy Spirit shines the light on the truth. As we read it with our natural eyes, we get the word out. Our eyes look at it. The Holy Spirit gives us the revelation in the spirit. And then our mind gets that revelation and it's renewed. And then it becomes a seed in the heart. And from that seed, we then gird ourselves with that truth. And then outwardly, we have the confidence to be able to act it out. That is how it happens, right? If there's no confidence, it's because we don't have it in our heart. The heart is where the girding happens, the waist, right? The hip. So the word must reach the heart in order for that confidence to be tightened up, meaning I now have the word in my heart. I'm fully persuaded. Therefore, I have the confidence to go out there and speak and do and act and whatever God tells me to do. We're running out of time, Erica. We've got like 1 minute left. So I'm going to just ask you to just give a word of inspiration in this next 1 minute, please. And say goodbye to for us.
Dear Gospel for Grampian listeners, precious Angelina and everyone else that is listening this Thursday, I pray that you will be girded, that your loins will be girded with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that when truth is with you, self-discipline of total commitment is part of your clothing. You will become the committed soldier who is prepared. You will win in the war. And it will be a direct result of the desire that leads to careful preparation and maximum effort. I pray that you will take this word and that you will sit at the Father's feet and that you will hear what he has to say to you as you worship him in spirit and in truth. Then you will be able to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect in God's eyes. I pray that when your mind is renewed in commitment to God's truth, that he will empower you to become a living and a holy sacrifice that will please God. And that is your spiritual service of worship. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you.
Thank you so much, Erica. Thank you, our wonderful Gospel for Grampian listeners. Remember, gird up your loins so that you can run without delay. From Erica and I love you. Ta-ta.